Right, Jamie, we'll start with you, Sky Sports News.
Right, if we just start off with injury news, in particular, Eze, Gehi, Alise.
Yep, we've lost all three of them. There's no question of that. It's a massive blow, in particular after the Sheffield United game, when we were really thinking we're going to be okay now. We've got these guys back, and just the opposite's occurred. And furthermore, Michael's picked up another serious injury, which is absolutely devastating for him, for the club, for everybody, really. And strangely, it was one of those situations where so many things sort of went wrong that could have gone right, as it were. But we don't have hindsight, that's the problem. And I suppose it's also exacerbated by the fact that it's Michael Olise, you know, that when he's there and it's possible that he can be on the bench and take some part in the game, I'm afraid everyone wants to get behind that in a way, because you don't want to leave your best players out of it. But it's, with hindsight, it's a really bad situation which has occurred, and it's damaged us, of course, in the weeks to come, because it's going to take time for this injury to repair itself.
I think the frustration for the fans, perhaps, is the fact that he was clearly carrying an injury, came on at 3-0 down when the game was kind of gone, and then aggravated it, made it more serious. Can you understand their frustration, their anger at that?
Well, that's hindsight, and secondly, that's them suggesting he's carrying an injury. I don't think he was carrying an injury. I think that it was more fatigue that we had to concern ourselves with, and as a result, when a player is a little bit fatigued, and he'd been out a long time before he played his 60-odd minutes against Sheffield United, everyone was urging caution. I've got to say, the medical people, I hear that they've been taking some criticism. That's so grossly unfair. They've done remarkably well getting him back into any condition to play, really. It boils down more to the fact that when there was a chance that he could be available, and basically everyone got together and decided, well, perhaps he can be available, but we need to start him on the bench and maybe only bring him on in the second half. That's where we all were, and of course then I suppose we strode blindly ahead. But it's not easy when you've got a player like Olise on the bench and to turn around and say, by the way, you just sit there and watch the game because we don't need you. That's not quite so easy, you know, and there was no indication from us that he was happy to do that. But of course, Mo's a quiet guy, so that's the other unfortunate part, if you like, of this whole equation. Another player might just have come and said, look, I don't think it's worth it, I don't think I need to go on, I'd rather have a bit more time. But we can't expect that of him. That's not fair to expect it of him. You know, he's just going along with what he thinks the whole of the club think. So it was the perfect storm. In every respect, it was a perfect storm. But injuries do happen. I mean, that's the other bottom line. It happened in this game, and now we're trying to seek reasons why exactly could it have happened when it happened. But it could have happened at any time. There's no question of that. You know, he could have come on for 5 minutes and done it, or he could have not come on at all and then in the first training session here done it. We're always second-guessing everything. For me, it's another element of incredible bad luck that we've suffered recently to lose those two and Mark Gay in the same period of time. Add that to Doucouré that we've had to come to terms with. Four of the players who were most important for the club and the team last season, we don't have anymore. So, what do? You make sure you get on with it, and you make certain you do your best to prepare the team that are there to play, and you hope that some of them are going to come up and show elements of their play that we haven't seen because they've not been given the chance to do it up to now.
Since Saturday, have you had conversations with the chairman about your future?
No, the chairman and I talk all the time, but there's been no specific talk about the future, no.
It kind of escaped your attention that the atmosphere has turned a bit toxic at Selhurst Park.
Mm.
And that must, even after 48 years in the job, that must still hurt.
Yes. I mean, we're in the business, really, or in the job, to A, try and coach a team to be the best team it can be and win as many matches as it can, and most important of all, to give the fans something that they want to see and can be proud of. Now, when the fans have turned against us as they have, that's the worst possible scenario. And you can understand it because, you know, we haven't really got ourselves going after the Brentford game and kicked on from there with wins which they hope for, and we've had two heavy defeats. But it's a fact of life. It's a situation that is there. We can't change it. No words of mine or no explanations are going to change it. That's where we are, and we've got to get on with it and keep doing the best we can for them. But we understand that you know, they at the moment are not particularly happy with the situation, and they're letting us know they're not happy with the situation, and we have to take that on board, take it on the chin, because it's their right to do so. And most importantly of all, we certainly can't do without them. In this current situation we have, where so many of our better players, in our opinion, more celebrated players, are not available, which can make us a better team, as we showed against Sheffield United, I think. When they're not there, the players who are now going to come in their place, they need even more encouragement, more support than ever. So we can only hope that the fans will understand the situation and will give us that support and that backing which they've always given in the 5 years that I've been at the club.
There are rumours doing around, which I'm sure you've avoided, and it's probably best to avoid them, of managers being lined up to take over from you. Is that just something you shrug your shoulders at and say, la vie, that happens? Or does that undermine you? Do you find that hurtful?
Well, I think speculation, there's always going to be people who are having a bad run with their clubs, and at that time there's going to be speculation about the future of those people, i.e. those managers, so why should I be any different to that? So it's not in my control, that. It doesn't affect my daily work when I come in here. It doesn't stop me working with the players as I think we should work with the players. It doesn't stop me selecting the team. It doesn't select me selecting the tactics and trying to get the team in the best possible shape to play the game. This is from the outside, and one has no option but to let those things pass by and to accept them as a fact of football life.
Just one final one from me. Steve Parrish is usually very good at coming out and talking to the fans and letting them know the situation. He's been quite quiet recently. Would you encourage him to say something to at least let the fans know what the situation is and what the plan is for the rest of the season?
I don't think that's necessary. I don't think he's obliged to do that at all. At the moment, the situation is as it is, that I am in charge of the game that's coming up, and that it's my responsibility to get the team onto the field for that game and to try to do the best job we can against a very strong Chelsea side. Why should he be obliged to say what any further plans could be or even divulge his thoughts? That's not necessary. I expect he would divulge his thoughts when he feels the time is right to do so.
Thanks, Roy.
Thank you.
In light of the positive impacts Francar, Rosa and Armada have made off the bench so far, are any of them close enough to starting games and with some of the injuries sustained in the squad?
Obviously, because I mean our squad is getting so much smaller and they play in an area where we're missing players. So of course they're getting closer. I think both of them have benefited, you know, from the time. I think they understand more what we're trying to do. I think their game is constantly improving, and it will be now for them to, when they get a chance, to really grasp that. Frank has had more chances than Hamada, in actual fact. But when they have come on in recent games, they've been sharp, they've been lively, they've shown that they understand what we're trying to do. So there's absolutely no reason to suggest that they're not getting closer to the team.
And you said after the Brighton match, the one thing the players did not lack was heart and desire. It's a difficult period. It's clear the players are committed but are also affected. We saw them speaking to the Palace fans after the match. How have the entire squad have been managing overall?
It must be very tough for them. I mean, I think in particular it was very tough on Saturday, that when the players go over to do what I think it's right that they do, i.e. move across to the fans and applaud them and thank them for coming. It's hard then to be abused, even though we understand the fans' frustration and we can take it. But I think they've dealt with it very well. All I can say is that this week in training, it's obviously been a very tough weekend, especially with the way the result panned out, and especially with the extended protests and all the things that are being written. I've got to say, the three training sessions we've had have been extremely good, and I'm amazed really that they can show that degree of resilience, degree of maturity, and to accept that this is a bad situation that we're in, but there's only one way we can help ourselves to get out of it, and that's to work hard and try and play good football.
And your 200th game in charge of Crystal Palace is coming up against Chelsea. What's been the biggest positive change you've seen over your time in the club?
Oh, there's been so many. I mean, I'm tempted to say, if you wanted just one single thing, the academy, of course. I think a lot of money went into that, a lot of thought, a lot of effort, and I think that's lifted the club up to a higher level. But I think that the other big change really was 2 years ago, when the club invested quite a lot of money by our standards for four players. They bought Gay, they bought Anderson. We'd already bought Eze, but he'd only been there a few months, and they bought Elise, and they signed Conor Gallagher on loan, and Wilf Zaha was still here. I think that was a major shift. You know, that those six players going into the team, when I watched them play, were very different to the team we'd had, which I admired and liked, and I thought did an excellent job keeping us in the league for 4 years. So no criticism of the team before, but if you say, when did you see a potential leap forward in terms of team? I think it was then. And in terms of the club in general, I think the academy and the plans for the new stadium. Pleasure.
Okay. Any other broadcasts? Rachel.
Can I just clarify what the injuries are to the three and if there are any timelines at this point?
Well, people don't want to give timelines, do they? Because it's enough, they're under enough pressure, as we've seen now. You're the moment. You even mention medical staff or sports science, people want to come in with criticism or to suggest that they're not doing what they should be doing. Nothing could be further from the truth. I was disappointed to hear from Joe that there was some talk that it's not good between us, the coaches, and the sports science and medical. Nothing could be further from the truth. They've done a fantastic job. They've been very unlucky. I mean, to come back at the start of a new season and find an Elise with that degree of injury, and then to lose Eze very shortly afterwards, and then a little bit more time after that to lose Eze and Doucouré in the same game. And they've had to deal with all these things. They've done a fantastic job. And it's so unfair that people are now trying to suggest, well, Elise's injury was my fault or their fault. It was the perfect storm, unfortunately. It really was. So many things could have prevented it. So many decisions could have been made along the way, which would have helped. But they weren't made. And what's happened has happened. So I'm very loath to give time frames. But the other thing that we talked about this morning is the amazing amount of strains, or what we used to call pulls, I suppose, which involve the tendon these days. In the past, you didn't get so many tendon injuries. You got pulled muscles. But the muscle apparently is much stronger, has much more blood and recovers quicker. When you get the tendon injured, you need extra weeks because it's a very thin tendon, basically speaking. And we were discussing the reasons why. And it's not just us, because our medical people speak to all the other clubs. And everyone seems to be reporting the same thing. We're getting these hamstring strains, the players are going off, we're doing the MRI, and they're all 2C, 3C, operation, out for weeks at a time. I think that's something that the whole of football does need to look at. And one of the things which I think definitely does need to be taken into consideration is the type of athletes we're producing today. You know, the unbelievably fast, lean athletes with power and sprinting ability. And also the fact that we've decided to change the length of time a game is played now. So the 92, 93 minutes is becoming 112, 115. And of course, a lot of the time when these injuries can occur are at the end of games when players are fatigued. So there's lots and lots of factors. We're in a bad situation because we've lost three of our most important players, and we're not really in a position to cover that level of player with our squad. But Man City are in a fairly similar situation. United have had an injury list, the like of which we went to Brighton on Saturday and they had six or seven players. So we're not alone, unfortunately, but it seems to be more in focus with us because the players who are out are the ones that everyone wants to see and the ones who everyone believes will be the players that move us forward.
And just on those two, it's two hamstrings for Eze, is that correct?
Yes, they're both hamstrings. Mark Gay is his knee. He jarred his knee. So Mark Gay, that's just a question of time until, you know, that jarring passes and he gets full flexibility in his knee. That doesn't necessarily need to be a particularly long injury, but unfortunately the injuries with hamstrings, and we've suffered another one with Jez Rakczaki again. He's also managed to pick up another hamstring strain after doing so well to get back 2 weeks with us in training, but the first time he went out to play a game for the under-21s, he pulled up after 15 minutes. So we've lost another important player there.
OK, that's the end of the broadcast section. Thank you.